And good morning. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of The Morning Show with your morning show hosts, Julie Calamine and Phil Huff. Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, Julie. How are you?
Well, I'm fine. How have you been?
I'm good. Did you opt out on Friday?
I did opt out.
And did you opt in on Thursday?
Yes, I did.
And it's a good weekend.
Yes, it was. And how was your Thanksgiving?
Oh, it was great. We started off with the turkey trot, the annual trotting of the turkeys, and that gets you nice and hungry for Thanksgiving Day, and then a nice little walk outside on Friday.
And same, we had a great Thanksgiving, too. And as everyone knows from last week, we went fishing and we had a great time. So happy to be back in Sandpoint.
Yeah.
Well, we're back in Sandpoint, and the weather is a little bit different here than it was when we left last week, although not that much different because we are in the clouds once again. Today, we can expect some clouds, cloudy rain and maybe snow, 80% chance, and it's only getting to 39 degrees today. Tonight, we're going to have a low of 33, and then Wednesday, oh, cool again, high of 37 and a slight chance of snow, mostly cloudy. Wednesday night, cloudy. Thursday, cloudy. Chance of rain and snow, 37. Thursday night, 33. Cloudy. So on it goes. But we hope for snow.
It sounds like good fall weather. I think it might even be good Padre Paddler weather.
Well, yes, it might. I mean, it's not exactly freezing. Fish and other creatures can rear their ugly heads above the water, can't they?
They can, but the misty fjords of Lake Pendere hold more than most people realize, and that's what we're going to talk about during the first half of the show this morning is the mysterious Lake Pendere Paddler, fact and fiction.
But not only, we've got another creature we're talking about, Phil. Sasquatch.
You would talk a little bit about him, too, yes.
Yes, so he can come up.
He can. So in the studio with us today, we have two guests in the first half. Whitney Palmer, artist and author of a children's book series, The Lake Pendere Paddler. Good morning, Whitney.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
And we also have Jatil Lund Anderson, one of the co-founders of Sandpoint High School's recently formed Sasquatch Club.
Also known as Cryptozoology. Good morning.
Good morning. Jatil. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being on the show.
Good to have you here.
So Whitney, let's start a little bit with a little bit of background about your interest in the story of the Pendere Paddler.
Sure. Well, I grew up here, born and raised, and was fortunate to grow up on the lake. And my parents kind of would talk about the paddler. And I would spend a lot of time in the water and by the lake, and a lot of childhood memories, I suppose, and also reconnecting with my inner child is what inspired me to write it.
And so for the folks who are new to the area, tell us a little bit about the story of the paddler, the legend.
Well, there are a lot of different things you might hear. A lot of things are word of mouth. There's myths from the native tribes that used to frequent around the lake, supposedly. I've heard this word of mouth, that there was a creature. It may have been a large sturgeon, some sort of creature to be wary of in the water. And then there's, of course, been a lot of sightings, especially around Bayview, since the naval base went in there, and it was pretty secret back in the 50s, I believe. So people thought they were seeing a creature in the lake, like the Loch Ness Monster. And I think in the later 50s and 60s, there were news reports, and they thought they caught something in a net, and it was published on the cover of the Daily Bee. So there's all kinds of stories, and, you know, that's a really fun thing, too, that the stories have largely been passed along through storytelling. I heard some of those around fires.
Have you seen the paddler yourself?
I don't think I've seen it in a material sense, but I feel like I've sensed it and seen signs of it.
And so what do you believe the paddler to be? Does the paddler exist?
Well, besides a mythological creature kind of in that same class as Sasquatch and Kraken and mermaids and the Loch Ness Monster, I believe the paddler to be sort of almost like a gateway into like an world of imagination and perhaps a spiritual realm, like an alternate reality. that we don't always tune into or see.
And this is a theory that many people have, that these mythical creatures move between worlds and dimensions. And so it would fit in a sort of a philosophy of mythical creatures, wouldn't it?
Yes, yes. I've heard the same thing about Sasquatch and Yeti. Again, word of mouth from people in travels and in conversation that Sasquatch could be like a gateway to a spirit realm if you have a sighting.
We should take a survey. Who here has seen either Sasquatch or the Pondere Paddler? How about you, Jatil?
Yeah, sure. I've always been really into Sasquatch and cryptozoological things like that, but I don't really think they're mythical. I think they're more just like you and me, you know? They're just animals.
I've never seen Sasquatch, but I've sat around campfires where I could literally feel his breath on my back.
Really?
His presence. This, whether it's a spiritual connection or a real one, there was a physical manifestation. I believe. I'm a believer.
You are. Well, I've seen neither, but I do occasionally dream about bears and wolves invading my house. Yeah. Does that count?
No, not at all.
Oh, too bad.
So, Whitney, continue on a little bit with how these experiences shaped your inspiration as an artist and as an author.
Sure. I've always been a person of many interests, and that's certainly been true in my art practice as well, and getting too scattered and spread out between ideas and having all these different inspirations. But when I returned back to Sandpoint after college and some travel and living in other places, I dug up a lot of work that I did from elementary through high school, and it really helped me realize, like, wow, I have a lot of like illustrative sort of qualities. And I wrote, as class assignments, would write and illustrate books, and I had always wanted to write and illustrate a kid's book, and I just sat down and made myself do it.
And so you brought two of these books in today. Uh-huh. There's a part one and a part two, correct. The Mysterious Pondere Paddler.
Yep.
Would you read from one of the books for us?
Right. Okay. Well, this stanza, it all rhymes. It's kind of a poetry inspired, and that also gives it a rhythm for readers. And part of what I wanted to do was kind of play with this idea of debunking the theories that sightings were in fact submarines. So say instead that supposed submarine sightings are Pondere Paddler sightings. So here's one. A submarine periscope could be mistaken for its head protruding from the lake's southernmost end, where the Navy does testing of these underwater vessels, and the water is so deep you can't measure its levels.
And the illustrations are as equally as intriguing as the prose or poetry that we're listening to. They're beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, they're very lifelike. There's a quality to them that you can connect with.
Thank you. Yeah, I really like this humor aspect. You know, I think we all need some more humor in our lives at times. And so it came out very humorous.
Yeah. It did. I've got to ask you, are all of the examples, instances of sightings that were reported, or are some ones that you've created?
No, they're just my imagination of a very goofy Pondere Paddler.
Yes, and yet they seem to match some of the ones that we read about in the old press articles, etc.
Right. Yeah, so like, you know, when the paddler supposedly bumps your boat, people think it's trying to attack you and it's vicious. Well, I wanted to debunk that too and say, no, it's just really lonely and it thought the boat was another paddler it could play with. So
it feels like you've put a lot of yourself into the poetry and obviously into the illustrations.
Yeah. But, well, honestly, the writing came to me quite naturally and the illustrations take a lot more time. Mm-hmm. I put a lot of time into those.
Tell us how the first book became a series. There was a sequel.
Right. I started the first book and it all flowed really well, but I knew I wanted to do more and it was more like an introduction. So part two came out because I wanted to create more of a story and a plot and a protagonist, a main character, and have it more like a real story story. The first book's kind of like an introduction to the idea of the paddler and a illustrated poem almost, less than a real storyline. So
tell us about the storyline of the second book.
Sure. It starts, the location is Sandpoint City Beach, and there's a young girl who, I don't want to give too much away, but she's heard of the Pondere Paddler, and she wants to see it, and she's sitting there and calls it, and nothing happens. It doesn't come, so she gets really frustrated and kind of gives up and yells at the paddler, and you know, she says, "I don't think you're a mean monster, and I just want someone to play with, and I wish you would be my friend." And then she kind of gets absorbed in her environment and is staring off out into the lake, and the water's sparkling, and she goes into a trance, sort of where things feel surreal, and that's when something happens.
Yes. We shouldn't give it away.
No.
But there's enough room in the story for another book? Is there an intended...
Oh, definitely. This is just a start, so there's a lot more to come.
And what I liked about book one and book two are that book one sort of introduces us to the paddler, and book two is a very individual story and a really fun one. So it's a nice progression for kids.
Mm-hmm. And the illustrations are absolutely wonderful. It's a great combination of both the storyline with the prose poetry and with your artistry.
Thank you very much. Yes, I tried to make it entertaining for adults too, so it really spans a range of ages and reading levels.
And so for people on the radio who can't see the books, there are illustrations available on your website?
Yeah, it's on my website, and I don't have all the illustrations from the book out there really, because I like to keep them in the book and keep it mysterious. But
there's a few to give a sample or a tease. So tell us about your website.
I have an artist's website. It's just my full name, WhitneyRayPalmer.com. And they are available online through CreateSpace, which is who I publish through. It's part of Amazon, so you can order online. But I have it in stores in town as well, or you could contact me directly for signed copies.
Mm-hmm. And I noticed on your website that you do a bit of plein air painting. Are we out looking for the monster while we're painting?
I like to incorporate those things more, and so I've been doing that more with my landscape paintings.
Well, it is that combination of light and shadow that I think sometimes gives a rise to some of these myths. We were traveling one time, Dev and I, in Scotland, and actually spent a little bit of time hiking along the shores of Loch Ness. Mm-hmm. And the afternoon light, as it reflects off some of the long waves, mm-hmm. Or maybe it was a serpent, but one of the two created this illusion or reality of this thing snaking back and forth. And it's that wonderful combination of late afternoon light and water.
Like I say in the book, and like my father told me growing up, if there's a wave and no sign of a boat, then that's a sign.
It sure is.
Yeah, you know, as a kid, I grew up just getting absorbed in nature and going into that kind of surreal trance-like state where you're just in awe of nature and everything around you and all the beauty. And that's really what inspires me as an artist, and certainly in this book. And what a special place we live in.
So if you're just tuning in, this is 88.5 KRFY in Pondere, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. On this morning's Tuesday morning show, we're interviewing Whitney Palmer about her book, The Pondere Paddler, a wonderful set of illustrations and poems, a children's book. And with us also, we have Shatil Lund Anderson, one of the founders of the Sandpoint High School's Cryptozoology Sasquatch Club. You're focusing on Sasquatch, but it sounds like there's interest from the members and a wide array of the cryptozoological field. Is that right?
Yeah, definitely. I like to study a lot more than just Sasquatch, you know? I like to do a lot of different fringe sciences, that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So tell us a little bit about some of the main interests you have.
Well, I'm really into, well, Sasquatch, of course, you know, and I'm a firm believer in aliens. Well, not aliens, UFOs. Mm-hmm. Kind of aliens, you know, they're very different topics, you know? And I think that when it comes to the Pondere Paddler, you know, I have my own theory, you know?
So tell us about your theory.
Some people might call it a conspiracy theory.
Oh,
okay. Okay.
Just hold on to your socks because they're about to be blown off, okay? when the paddler, when the first, like, reported sighting was in the summer of 1942, July 1942, it was only really reported as a pretty big wave that couldn't, and there was no boats on the water or anything. So it couldn't really be caused by a boat, okay? And the summer before that, I mean, not the summer before that, the month before that, the naval base at Farragut got a large shipment of quote-unquote lifeboats.
Mm.
Okay, and during this time, it was World War II is going on. There was sightings by Allied troops of UFOs. So my theory is that the American government somehow hijacked a UFO, okay, and sent it to Farragut, the Navy base, because it's so, you know, it's not really widely known. And they were reverse engineering it for to try to figure out how they used it for advanced rocket propulsion. Okay.
Interesting.
So this was the whole alien spacecraft.
Yeah, the whole alien spacecraft, because there's numerous reports of alien spacecrafts being able to go underwater. And say they did figure out how it worked, you know, they could make a bomb using the same material that they used to fuel it.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Well, where does that lead us with your Sasquatch theories? Are they conspiracy theories?
Pondere Paddler.
No, I really believe that if Sasquatch does exist, he is just an animal like you and me, you know? He doesn't really have any magical powers or anything like that, like people believe. But it's good to keep your head open, you know, because have you ever heard of the psychic Sasquatch spiritual retreat in Chihuahua, Washington?
I have heard of that.
You have, yeah. Yes. I'm going to that. You know, it kind of sounds a bit crazy, but I think I'll definitely learn something new.
You'll definitely meet some interesting people.
Yeah, definitely meet some interesting people. You know.
So the Pondere Paddler, was the Pondere Paddler originally a hitchhiker on the alien spacecraft?
Or maybe.
Was it one of the constructional engineers on the spacecraft, perhaps?
I think Whitney would like to comment.
I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, I was just wondering what you do with the psychic Sasquatch spiritual retreat.
Oh.
What does that entail?
You just work, you hone your skills, your psychic abilities to be able to connect with Sasquatch and learn his message to humanity, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Is there any similar gathering of, there's lake monsters, for lack of a better word. That's a horrible word. It's pejorative. But there are lake animals, mythic creatures around the globe. I know there's one in Flathead Lake. At least the story goes, there's one in Flathead Lake.
I've heard there's an underground water tunnel that connects to Flathead Lake, too, from Lake Pondere. And the creature could possibly be going from
that is
one
an
to
interesting.
The
other. There is a not that any theory is not credible, but one of the explanations for the Nessie in Loch Ness is that there's an underwater connection to the sea. That it's a sea serpent that's found its way into the Loch Ness and perhaps grown too large to go back through the portal.
Mm-hmm. And that would augment genetic diversity for these theories, for these creatures, which would allow them to live in the world.
Maybe we shouldn't go down that wormhole just yet.
All right.
But so tell us a little more about the rest of the cryptozoology club. The club implies there's more than yourself.
Yeah. Well, we have, I think we're one of the biggest clubs in the school right now. We have a lot of support, you know.
So how many members are there?
I think 22 signed up last, well, 22 signed in, but there's a lot more people coming in late. So I think we have about 30, and that meeting was a month ago.
And so is there some forming consensus from the group, or are you exploring 30 different theories of things?
We try to keep our minds open. You know, anyone's really allowed in the group. Like, even if they don't believe in Sasquatch, if they're just interested, you know, we want to keep a real open mind when exploring the possibilities.
Yes, well, since it's the topic of cryptozoology, and there are many possible cryptoids in the area, they might even be interested in the Wampus Cat. Is that true?
Oh, the Wampus Cat. I've heard of that. I don't know.
It's the mascot for the Clark Fork High School.
Yeah, it is. But
it has to be true.
Mythical, but true.
Mascots don't lie.
Yeah. I don't know. I've kind of looked into it, and I don't think there's really enough, like, information as, like, I think the Sasquatch is mainly what we focus on. You know, there's not that much information on the Wampus Cat.
What is a Wampus Cat?
A good question, Phil. Can you answer that for us?
Well, I think it's a mountain lion on steroids.
Okay, that's what I always kind of figured. Yeah.
Now, I've got a question about Sasquatch sightings. Are there more in this area than some other areas?
You know, there is actually the Bigfoot Field Researchers Organization. If you look on their website, they say our county has the most in all of, Our county has the most, I'm pretty sure.
Bonner County is a big Sasquatch sighting county.
I've heard all kinds of stories about Sasquatch, too, from some local people and people in my travels. I go along the coast through Oregon and Northern California, so of course it's huge down there.
Do you have a book series planned for? Is this going to branch out into?
You know, I've wanted to actually, incorporate more, like, perhaps there's some Sasquatch that might come out eventually in some other work, but.
So I've got to ask you, what do you two think about the zeitgeist of the country that we're so interested in these mythical monsters? What does that really mean for us as a country? Any thoughts on that?
I think that there is a need to kind of, I don't know if I would say escape this reality that we are feel maybe kind of boxed in or stuck in our society, but maybe it is sort of like we need an escape or a break from it.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot of cryptids out there that are kind of just made up. Someone says they saw it, says it around the campfire, and then it just kind of catches word, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's fun and playful, and we need more of that. And
yeah, I don't know that it's restricted to our country in this time. I think there's a universal need around the globe and through all times for individuals to believe in something, and to believe in something perhaps that they can't explain, that they just simply believe it. I think we could have a whole show on what do you believe in but can't prove.
And it's around the nature of creativity, which is part of why your book is so much fun.
Yeah. And these creatures we're talking about go, I think, to the very essence, as Whitney was touching on earlier, of our relationship to nature, to the outdoors, to ourselves. And I think that's what comes across in your books.
Thanks. I don't want to get too philosophical, but I do consider myself to be a deep ecologist, and I feel a strong connection with nature, and a lot of that's from growing up here, and there is something magical, and that's in cultures throughout the world. The practice of magic is actually based in tuning in to nature and to those energies, and I think there is some real magic there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So true.
And Shatil, tell us a little bit about how this ties in with the Sasquatch Club, the Crypto Zoo Club at the school. Most of the students participating must feel some connection to the nature.
Oh, yeah, we definitely do. I mean, Sasquatch Club is kind of, like, finding Sasquatch is really one of the reasons we like to go outside, you know? And it's just kind of a good excuse to go out in nature and learn more about nature and stuff.
The proverbial snipe hunt, really.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you taking time, too, to come in today. And I know how hard it is to miss classes. And your class out there is listening to you. Is that right?
Oh, yeah. My art class. Yeah. I have a good quote from my friend Wyatt Wad. Squatch is to each man his own, which really means for me that Sasquatch means many different things to many different people.
Mm-hmm. You probably saw Scott Rulander's recent video here.
Oh, yeah.
For the Kinixu Lands Trust. You know, land is my Sasquatch. And mm-hmm. I think that embodies that feeling or that sentiment.
Definitely. Jatil, will there be any field trips?
Oh, yeah. We're going to try to get a field trip to the Ho Rainforest, you know, because that's a big hot spot. And we're also, I emailed Cliff Barockman. He's on Finding Bigfoot, you know, on National Geographic. And he might come here, which would be real, real nice to have a guest speaker to come.
An expert.
You know Bobo.
Oh, yeah.
You want to meet Bobo? I've met him.
Wait, really?
Yeah, in Northern California.
Wow. That's what we're about, making connections, right?
Yeah. So there is a very important question that some of my family listening once settled once and for all. Can you tell us what the favorite food for Sasquatch is? What his favorite food is?
I'd say...
huckleberries?
No, it's probably like ramen noodles.
That's what I believe. Yeah. That's what I believe.
That's good.
Yeah, ramen noodles.
I think he's here because he likes huckleberries.
Well, that explains him being here in North Idaho, but it doesn't explain the other 49 states he's found in. So ramen noodles are everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've got to make this comment about Sasquatch and searching for Sasquatch. When I find myself wandering the woods and I'm by myself and I look over my shoulder and I see those big dark stumps of the North Idaho woods, that's always my first thought. Is it Sasquatch or is it a stump?
Well, absolutely. Sometimes those stumps look like black bears or grizzly bears, but they're just stumps. And other times they might not be.
They might be mythical being.
If you've spent any time in the Ho River Valley, it is so dense with vegetation, probably the densest biomass on at least the North American continent, if not the planet. You literally can't see more than 5 feet into the woods. So anything could be in there. It would be the perfect hiding place.
Yeah, it would. It would. Mm-hmm. You know, Sasquatch is the world's hide-and-seek reigning champion.
That undoubtedly would be hard to contest.
I would have to concur.
Well, I like that idea of the to each their own with Squatch. I apply that to Paddler, too. I know everyone has their own idea of what the Paddler is like and the stories they've heard. But I wanted, when I decided to make it a kid's book, I wanted him to be a really friendly, goofy, harmless, misinterpreted sort of a creature. Because I know little younger kids get scared and a lot of their parents will be like, oh, I don't want to scare my kid.
No, but, and water is such an important thing for children not to be afraid of.
Yeah.
That's a nice direction you've gone.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good way to wrap up this segment. And tell us, Shatil, what does the Paddler mean to you?
I think what the Paddler really means to me is that I live in a great place, you know, where stuff like this can be found.
What a great way to conclude.
I think so. And for me, the thought that there might be a Paddler out there or there might be a Sasquatch out there gives reason to continue to explore the great out of doors, to see what there is, to find out what we can, and know that sometimes we can't know everything, but we can still hope to find out more and more to define our own existence.
Mm-hmm. Well, what a great way to conclude. Jatil, thank you for joining us. And Whitney, thank you.
Thank you both for coming in. We'll have to have you back.
Thank you.
If there's any... I don't want to say breaking news from the Cryptozoology Club. A topic you want to explore, please feel free to let us know.
Okie dokie.
New sightings, we'll report them.
And Whitney, when you have another book out, we're interested.
Yes, I'll be working on part three again this winter, so the story continues.
So perhaps next spring we'll have you on.
That's right.
Great.
Well, for those of you just joining us, you're listening to 88.5 KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the panhandle of Idaho, the very wild and remote panhandle of northern Idaho where these things can exist.
A hotspot for cryptos.
So true. We're going to take a song break, and Phil selected this song, which I think is, and that was The Kinks with Ape Man.
The Kinks believed in Sasquatch.
Apparently so.
What a fun half hour.
That really was fun.
And if you missed any of it and would like to hear the rest, you can listen to the podcast later on today at www.krfy.org.
Yes, and you're being joined by Julie Calamine and Phil Huff, the Tuesday Morning Show, and we've got a new guest. Why don't you introduce her, Phil?
Well, we're back with Marcy Timlin, a frequent guest on KRFY.
Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, thanks for coming back. And everybody is excited to hear more about the library expansion. We'll talk about that and then a little bit about what a special day today is. It's Giving Tuesday, but tell us what's happening at the library.
Oh, boy. So, you know, there's always things that are happening behind the scenes, the less sexy things like plumbing and, you know, that sort of stuff. But right now, one of the cool things, I think a lot of people didn't realize, our demand for tutors and our demand for tutoring sessions. And so we only have a few tutoring rooms and they're pretty small. And we made a decision to actually kind of bust in on some of the staff area and do a renovation. So we just started that this past week. We're putting in a beautiful new tutoring area. Work upstairs on the interior has started, and that's pretty new for us. You all have probably seen everything that's going on outside, and it's just huge. It's amazing to see the transformation that's happening. We're super excited about it.
And I see a lot of construction going on right outside the Rude Girls room. Is it getting bigger? Is it getting ruder?
Is that possible?
Right. No, what is so neat about that area is our children's area is going to grow and expand. And we'll actually have dedicated space for the children's programs instead of them having to take place in the community meeting rooms, which really competed with other organizations like KRFY staff who might want to come and meet at the library and events and things like that. So that big area that, you know, that's most prominent that people are seeing as they drive by the library is mostly on that bottom floor. There is going to be the community meeting rooms are going to be expanded. They'll be almost triple the size that they were before with all the technology you need in there. And which is, you know, so exciting for the community. I'm hearing a lot from people because there are, you know, some issues with meeting spaces and venues for nonprofits in our area, here in downtown Sandpoint in particular. And so we're thrilled to be able to fill that need. That's what we're really trying to do. You know, I guess that's the one takeaway that we really hope people will see from this project is that we're responding. We're transforming because of what the community says they need from their local library.
The library is so much more than just simply books and magazines. And for folks who haven't been in there in a long time or are new to town, we have a wonderful asset in our library from meeting rooms and dedicated children's space to the tutoring program to the 3D printing and right. Seed bank. And online, you can download music and videos, and the resources just simply go on and on. It's truly an amazing gem for the community.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's because the public has made it that way. I mean, we try to just make sure that we do what we can with the budget we have to give to the community what they're saying they want. It's all about the community.
Yes, and the display cases are interesting, and the Friends of the Library, there is just so much going on. And the bookmobile, too.
Yes, the bookmobile has been having some issues lately. He's been a little bit sick. Yeah, we call him Booker. And he's just been having a lot of health problems lately, but we're still working on it. We're getting him back out there on the road. And if people are curious about whether he's up and running on a particular day, the best thing you can do is go to our website. We'll have it pinned at the top of the web slide so you can see that, and we'll have it on social media as well.
Mm-hmm. And forgive me if you've answered this question in a previous show, but is fundraising ongoing or are all the funds in place for the
for your library transformation.
Yes, for the transformation. Thank you.
Yes. We are still fundraising, but I will say that we're quite excited and thrilled with the community. Again, you know, this is something that the community said they wanted, and we're responding, and they're responding too by filling that need. We started with an original goal of $700,000 just over a year ago that we needed for the $3.5 million project. We now are hovering right around $50,000, if you can believe that. So our community has been just hugely responsive. We have gotten some fairly large grants from Idaho Community Foundation and the Hutter Estate and others. And but, you know, most of it has been people just dropping a dime in the donation jar or sending a check here and there when they have a little bit of money. And interestingly, today is a day that we're really encouraging people to drop a $5 bill, because you might know that Abraham Lincoln is kind of our mascot at the library. And We, for Giving Tuesday, which is a national holiday today, a national day of charitable giving, we're encouraging people to give to their favorite organizations like KRFY and others that they really appreciate. And so we're just asking for $5. And that way you have more in your budget to give to all the organizations that you really care about. And so for $5, you can get lasting recognition for you or a loved one. You can get a book plate in the inside cover of a book of your choice that stays in the library collection. So that's super cool. And then you also, we have prizes and giveaways that we got from some of our business partners, the Starbucks and Sandpoint Superdrug.
And so what's the best way for people to give their $5? Do they come on down to the library in person or online or?
Well, we would love them to come on down to the library because we want to see them. But yeah. Also, then they can select their book. We could get that all taken care of for them. But they're also welcome to just go online. You can go on our website. And if you go to just go to the website, www.ebonnerlibrary.org, then you go to the Your Library Transformation button. And right there is a button that says donate. And you can just make your donation there.
Shoot, I don't think you can buy an online book for $5, can you, Phil?
I don't think so.
Right.
It's hard to,
it's a bargain.
Hard to even find a cup of coffee for $5.
These days, yeah. A good cup.
That's a deal. Right. That's a good deal.
It is, yeah. It and is. It, you know, everyone's $5 together really makes, well, we've already seen it. Look at what it's done already with needing $700,000, and now we're right around 50.
So Giving Tuesday is more than just the library. Can you tell us a little bit about the history of how Giving Tuesday came to be?
You know, it's about 7 years old. It's an organization that falls after the exhaustive week of shopping and eating and indulging, right. The Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And I guess now we have Travel Tuesday and Small Business Saturday.
Small Business Saturday.
Don't want to forget that. And so Giving Tuesday is really that way for people to give back. It lightens the load of what we've experienced over the past week.
It's a reminder that in the opening to the season of commercialism, that there are still other ways to contribute to our economy, and nonprofits are one of them, and Giving Tuesday is an important holiday to recognize and support.
Excellent point.
Yeah. It's true, and there are so many just in the Sandpoint community, and if you go online to Giving Tuesday, it lists 167 nonprofits in the state, but there are many more than that, aren't there, Phil?
Oh, yeah, there's at least that number just in Bonner County, as far as those who have a 501c3 designation and whether they've registered online or even if they're not promoting Giving Tuesday, they all will accept donations.
So true. And it's a day that many of the nonprofits are having special promotions. Yeah. Some are matching, some are gifts. It's really a great day to think about your favorite organization.
And we here at KRFY would be remiss to not remind people that we are a nonprofit. Community-supported radio means the community donates time and money. It depends on volunteers, folks like Julie and I and Marcy coming in volunteering her time and all of the people that make the program work and make the whole radio station work. So you can send your check to P.O. Box 2465, Sandpoint, Idaho, 83864. Or you can go online to KRFY.org or come on down to the station.
That's right. We'll happily accept it. And it can even be more than $5.
Or less.
That's true.
Marcy, it's just always so good to see you and to see folks from the library. It is such a true gem. Are there any upcoming events or things you want to highlight? Is there a target date for the end of the transformation? When will it come out of the chrysalis?
Yeah. So a little bit more on that. We are still, you know, it's a construction project. So the date keeps pushing back a little bit, but we're still looking at spring of next year. Our parking lot's done, so you can come and park. But we don't have any lines in the parking lot, so you have to park a little bit politely.
We're used to that.
And we're looking at probably just other than the landscaping and the parking lot signs, everything lines will be done probably May, we're thinking. And then we'll have a big party for the community when that happens. So we're super excited about that. And we're also putting in a really cool community garden. A lot of people don't know about that. It's kind of a new thing for us. So where the Quonset Hut is now, we'll be putting in kind of an art and story time garden there where we'll do programs and people can learn about agriculture and native plants, and we'll have like food growing in there too. So it'll be really fun.
So multiple themes. That'll be fun.
Yeah, it'll be really neat. And just stay tuned on our social media. There are new things popping up all the time. Because, like I said, it's a construction project, so we're always responding to what comes at us. And but we're thrilled to be working with NorthCon. They're an amazing contractor, and everyone that we've had on the job has been really fantastic. So that's been great. We do have one upcoming program. We don't do a lot inside the library right now because there's no room. But we are working with the museum on their story. They're doing a fairy tale display right now. It's a temporary exhibit that they have up. And I don't know if you two have had a chance to go see it, but really, I mean, it's epic. Heather Upton is the curator there, and she is amazing. So we're going to do a partnership with them on First Free Saturday, which is sponsored by Marilyn Sabella. And we're going to be there doing a story time with our children's librarian.
Oh, fun.
Yeah. That really sounds fun. And I know that KRFY will be in the display case, and I think the Native Plant Society. So lots of interesting upcoming displays.
There's always wonderful displays. It's another great example of how the library interacts with the community in such a positive way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
And Phil and I have had so many nonprofits and other folks on the radio, and Phil or I often ask how they decided to move to Sandpoint. It just seems to come up. And very often the library comes into that conversation. They'll mention that it was a good town with a small town feeling, and the library was just excellent.
That's nice to hear.
It's a fine compliment for you.
Thank you.
Well, running a little short on time, any last shout outs, information, or talk about Giving Tuesday?
Mostly just I want to thank you guys for having us on again, and just encourage people, if you don't know very much about Giving Tuesday, or if you have 5 cents or whatever, just do a good deed today. Give it some thought. We'd love to have your donation at the library, but we would just love for you to drop a dime for our community wherever you feel like that's important.
Pay it forward.
Yep.
Thank you, Marcy.
Marcy, thank you again. Marcy Timblin, Public Relations at the library. We're going to take a short music break. And once again, I think you've nailed it, Phil. Let's listen to Doug Bond with Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?
Oh, yeah.
There it is.
Doug Bond, local musician who's probably played for more nonprofit fundraisers than anyone I know.
And what a great song, Brother, Can You Spare a Dime?
Yeah, very appropriate for Giving Tuesday. So give a dime to your favorite nonprofit charity today.
That's right. Or more than one.
Yeah.
So, well, let's talk about what's happening with upcoming morning shows. Phil, tomorrow, Wednesday, we're going to be joined by Chris Bessler and Susie Prez. They're our usual morning show hosts, and their first guests will be organizers of the upcoming Helping Hands Healing Hearts Service Project. And then a second interview is scheduled with folks from the Sandpoint Waldorf School, who will tell us about the wonders and magic of their upcoming Christmas fair.
Sounds like a busy morning.
Does sound good. And don't forget to listen to Bernie Mosier in the morning if you're an early riser. He's got a great music program that starts at 5 a.m. And then Thursday, join hosts Jim Healy and Jack Peterson and their guest Hannah Combs from the Pondere Arts Council, who will tell us about the December 3rd performance of The Nutcracker. That's Thursday at 8.
Yeah, next Tuesday we'll have a great show again. We have Jeff Thompson from the Idaho Panhandle Avalanche Center talking about upcoming events that IPAC will be putting on, as well as information on how you can get information about the avalanche danger and threat in response to this season. I think, hopefully, he's bringing Annie the avalanche rescue dog.
I hope so. I love it when a dog can join us on the morning show.
Second half of the show next week will be Judy Dabrowski from the Lions Club talking about this season's Toys for Tots Drive and their need to feed the hungry for Christmas.
A very important topic. It'll be good to hear from Judy. Before we move on to calendar events, let's mention that next week, well, not quite next week, Wednesday, December 13th, will be the KRFY annual meeting. And some years we have it at the library, but this year it's really going to be something special. It's going to occur at the Idaho Poor Authority, and the featured beer will be Fremont Brewing. That includes some light snacks, raffles, live music. It's a great time, and we'll be able to kill two birds with one stone.
Killing birds? I don't think so. But
Well, we'll be able to can we do to the birds?
But what a lot of fun. Fundraisers at Idaho Poor Authority are always a great time, and come down to support KRFY. It's an easy way. Drink beers for the cause.
And sadly, Phil, I noticed that there's a heron on Fremont Brewing's logo. I guess I need to rescind the last comment.
You're mixing metaphors. So for fans of Murder on the Orient Express, it's playing at the Panda. It has like a 12-night run. We went to see it last Friday. It's an absolutely fabulous rendition, the new one. And it's playing again this weekend at the Panda Theater, the 27th through the 30th. So go to panda.org for more information on that.
I've heard great things about it.
A lot of fun. Great movie. This week's fundraiser at Idaho Poor Authority is for the Northside Elementary School. That's Wednesday night, 5 to 8 p.m. with Lagunitas Brewing. So come on down to 203 Cedar and support the Northside Elementary School.
Will do.
We're moving into the holiday season now that we're post-Turkey Day. It's time for Festival of Trees, November 30th to December 2nd. It's the three-day festive events at Bonner County Fairgrounds to benefit Kinderhaven. Family night's on Thursday night, holiday luncheon's on Friday, and the grand gala is Saturday. If you want more information on the Festival of Trees celebration, you can go to KinderhavenSandpoint.com. That's all one word, KinderhavenSandpoint.com. Sounds like a lot of fun.
That does sound fun.
Are you going to be doing more fishing this weekend, or is
not
that season coming
weekend.
To a close?
Nope, that is winding down for me.
Yeah. Then Marcy mentioned first free Saturday at the museum. That's on the 2nd at the Bonner County History Museum, and this weekend it'll feature that special combination of the library and the museum. So lots of fun stuff going on, as always, here in town. We have a lot of fun on the morning show, and we hope that you do too, and we hope that you get a sense of the community and a sense of upcoming events. And we're going to go out with a little bit of Randy Newman. It's his birthday today. I think it was 1943. We'll find out in the song. The song is his semi-autobiographical song, Dixie Flyer.
Can't wait to hear it. And for those of you who didn't hear all of the program, know that you can upload our podcast at krfy.org, and it will all be there, except for the music. Have a great week, everyone.
Take care.